Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the PanthersOut.com podcast. It's Friday. Happy Friday, you guys. It's a holiday weekend, so we are pleased to jump on the board and do our mic check podcast. It's been a while, Mike. What's going on, man? How's your Friday going so far? And hopefully, the month of May has come and gone. It's June already, all of a sudden, as we were just talking off air.
No, you're exactly right. It's kind of been a little bit of a blur of a month. As the school year comes to an end and we finish up with the semester and say goodbye to everybody, or at least most of them for, a few months. But it'll finally start to relatively slow down. But even though it'll slow down, obviously there's a lot of stuff we want to get accomplished this summer. As football is now less than 100 days away, which is hard to fathom. But we're excited for it. And we're excited to be able to really prepare now. Even though we were in the stadium last year, we were right up against trying to get everything done. We've got some more time to prepare and some other stuff we want to do. So it'll be a perfect time for us as well to get a little break before we get going again in the fall.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because you look at it and you're like, the games have basically slowed and stopped. I mean, you have championships mm-hmm. and different things like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, our programs were fortunate to be in a lot of those. Even some an NCAA appearance there for tennis, which was, as we talked about, I just happened to be in Athens that day, as mm-hmm. so did you for that as well. And it's just kind of weird because the overall focus of college sports just kind of almost drops and falls apart in May. Like, it's not really the topic mm-hmm. of conversation, of course. Most, as we know, in the Southeast, college football talk never stops in most
True.
Places, in most venues. But May is, is a little bit different, a little bit funky of a month. It's always interesting to me is you almost get – then you get into the month of June where the real work comes in. If you talk to any coaches, probably on just about every single sport, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, all the way down the list, June and summer workouts when the guys and gals come back into school and all the stuff that's done where our fans have no idea what's going on. But this is really where the hay gets made, doesn't it?
No, it's exactly right. And we are literally 1 week away. Some of the sports medicine folks were up in my office today as we're kind of getting plans ready. A week from Sunday, you've got football, men and women's basketball, and I believe some volleyball players that all report back for summer school and summer workouts and everything that goes along with it. When literally, as we said, the semester only ended about 3 weeks ago. So obviously, it's exciting to have them on campus. It's still a little different, once we get to August and stuff like that, where, our guys for, both football and men's basketball, they're really going to improve and, in the weight room and stuff. It's during the summer months. Once you get to the point of, when you're in season, there's only so much you can do. On a weekly basis with either sport. Obviously you're doing plays and stuff like that, but the true basis of what you're going to be starts in the summer. And so, even though it is a little different, we'll be excited to see the guys. I have not seen any of the guys on the men's basketball team. It's been probably a good almost month now. So looking forward to having them back. I'll be the first to tell our fans we're going to have a cool behind-the-scenes series with them this summer. As I'm trying to get fans, excited, obviously coming off a great season, and get ready for the upcoming season. So kind of a behind-the-scenes little videos, elements that you probably see once a week in June and July, which then lead up to, the trip that we announced when we head to Spain in that first week of August, which I know is going to be here, before you know it. And so I was starting to get some exciting plans going for that, too. So and by the time when that's all over, it'll be time for, our first football game. So the summer will go quick. But it's an exciting but also a little bit of a relaxful time right now.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the actual trip where we can do games again, right? So you guys
mm-hmm.
actually will be playing some games in Spain. And I know it's the trips are typically Samaritan's Feet focused and related,
mm-hmm.
but now we can actually get some guys out and get some games in and, add some new pieces as we know. I know Damon Wilson is now eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Phillips, of course, joining Kevontae
mm-hmm.
Ivory as well. That will be playing this fall. Kind of hammering out some rotations and lineups, even though the competition isn't college basketball necessarily. But get these guys together and actually get on the court.
No, and that's exactly right. Basically, what it is every 4 years, you can take one of these international trips where you're able to play international competition. We did one 4 years ago down in Costa Rica, which obviously led to us having a great season and an NCAA tournament appearance. The trip before that, for the fans who have been around for a while, was 8 years ago with Coach. It was before Coach Barnes' last season with us. Took the team down to Bahamas, and they were able to play some games. So we're looking, Coach Hunter, when he was scheduling this out, I'll say this as nicely as I can. The competition in Costa Rica was probably a little lacking. I remember the first game, Coach Hunter looked at the five starters, which included Ryan Harrow, RJ, Kevin Ware, and basically said, all right, you five, go sit at the end of the bench, take your shoes off, you're not playing tonight. And it was still about a 40 or 50 point route. The competition level in Spain is going to be a lot better. We'll play three or four games. There'll be a couple shoe distributions. There's some other college teams. Spain has become a very popular place for teams to go because of the level of competition. I know Oregon was over there last year. I believe Arizona was over there. I know this coming year, I've seen Ohio State's over there about the same time we're there. George Mason's over there. And the teams in Spain, it will be legitimate competition. I think Oregon might have even lost a game last year. And obviously, still went on to – the world didn't end and they had a good year. But that's kind of the level of competition you see over there. Same thing, I think, when you kind of go over to Italy. And so coaches, he was kind of planning this out, knowing what we have coming back and what, the goals and aspirations that we have for next year. What better way to finish the summer than facing, some legitimately, at least we think – stiff competition. And so it'll be a way for, guys like Damon and some of the freshmen and newcomers to get some action against somebody else. I mean, for the last year, the only person people Damon's been going against has really been our first team, as kind of a scout team player. So now he'll be able to get in there, and whether coach has him as a starter or, first, second guy off the bench, whatever the case may be, he can start to experiment with some of that. And, I think he'll definitely give us a leg up when official practice starts. I think the date's September 25th.
Well, and even with that, as we know, the preseason is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You're playing the lesser competition side of things. Haven't even asked you this, off the record, on the record, any record, so I figure we'll bring it up here. But is there plans basically to do another? I know in the past they've gone the non-scrimmage, the non-publicized or closed scrimmages in the past with other D1 schools. I know Ron did it, I'm trying to remember what, 2 years ago, you guys took the trip down to New Orleans to do one.
Yep.
If I don't recall correctly, was there any last year? I couldn't remember if we had done that last year or not.
No, so what you can basically do is you can do two exhibitions in whatever form you want. Most years, Coach Hunter has just done it as we play, Elise McCray, Clark Atlanta, whoever the case may be. But there are times because you cannot play other D1 competition, that they'll go play somebody, as you alluded to, went down to New Orleans and played the University of New Orleans. Obviously, last year was a little bit of the exception with the Georgia Tech game, the game for Hurricane Relief, and stuff like that. And who knows, something, obviously, hopefully nothing of Mother Nature causes us to have to do something like that again this year. But I think there's always, the possibilities of that. I think coach has got a plan in place when it comes to those types of games. Really, I think most of that stuff's not officially decided until middle of the summer. Once the schedule is complete and everything else, it's like, all right, what does our team need to do or be or what do we need help with? And he'll schedule those, accordingly at that point.
All right, so you mentioned it. So how close are we to a finished schedule?
I think we're very close. I still think it'll be a little while before it gets announced with some of the stuff behind the scenes that has to go on of who it needs to be approved by and all those things. So I still wouldn't expect anything before we get back from Spain, which would be about mid-August. But what I will tell people is they will be excited about the opener. That'll be on a Tuesday night. I'm not going to give you who the opponent is, but I will say that they were in the NCAA tournament within the last couple of years, and it will be a home game. So hopefully that'll give our folks a reason to come out as we raise the NCAA banner, raise the conference tournament banner, against a very good quality opponent that I think people would be excited about.
See, that's what we bring you on here, Mike. It's the quality teases, man. I'm telling you.
That's what I'm
you
here
and
for.
I could talk. Yeah, you and I could talk a podcast that probably could last an hour or so for men's basketball, but I'll pivot here just slightly for those folks who aren't as hardcore of a men's basketball person for us. We had a little concert down at the stadium that certainly, from what I can tell, went off without a hitch or little to no hitches. We had great weather and everything like that. Just wanted to we hadn't had a chance to catch up since that. Concert. How did it go from the Georgia State perspective? And obviously was a huge, in my opinion, showcase night for the school. And from what I could tell pretty much from the reaction on social media, everyone came away pretty impressed.
No, we were extremely pleased with everything that happened that night. You'll always have, little hiccups here and there of stuff that we'd like to clean up, but nothing significant across the board. And I think that really is a testament to all the hard work and dedication put in, especially by our facilities and operations crew, our ticketing staff. Everything, for months in advance went into this. And to be honest, putting on a concert of this size and nature is nothing compared to putting on, or is so much harder than putting on a football game or anything along those lines. Just, there's a lot more logistics in place that people don't realize behind the scenes. We were extremely pleased with it. We have come away with a pretty significant number financially that I think we're pretty happy with. That'll make it more than worthwhile to be doing these events down the line. It's a great way for athletics to bring in additional revenue, which will allow us to, do things like facility improvements or cost of attendance a plethora of other things. We're extremely happy about it. I know there's been some talks that are ongoing with some more events in the future, and hopefully, before long, we'll be able to get some of those signed and set. Because as I said, it was truly a great evening for Georgia State to show off the stadium. I'll be honest. I've told people, going into it, I liked the Foo Fighters. I definitely wouldn't call myself a hardcore fan by any stretch. The show that they put on that night for the people that were there, I'm definitely now a fan. They were absolutely incredible. Dave Grohl rocked on from 8:30 to about 11:40 at night at quote-unquote big-ass stadium that we obviously had some fun with. It was a great evening all around. And, whether that helps, at the end of the day, if some people showed up that night and had fun and come back for a football game or come back for another event there, that's a win-win for us. And that's what we wanted. We wanted people to have a good time, and obviously, at the end of the day, too, we wanted to do well financially. And I that was definitely the case. And so overall, extremely pleased with it, and hopefully there's more of those type of events in the future.
Well, and I think it swings the door open, and I've talked to probably half a dozen people who were there just to kind of get an idea. Mm-hmm. And their response was basically overwhelmingly, okay, when's the next one? Like, who is Georgia State bringing back? And then I said, truthfully, I don't even know, but obviously that's the next conversation, and when do you have it, and times of the year, and different things like that. And we know, you've lived in the city long enough, as have I. I've been to enough concerts, you have as well. Atlanta's a concert destination city. It's a stop on any major artist, no matter what the industry, no matter what the genre. People want to come to Atlanta, and you have those acts that can put more than what would fit at a Phillips or an Infinite Energy Arena and things like that, that this is legitimate 20,000-25,000 pretty easily. And it sounds like, logistically this can work. And, there were some people, quite honestly, and I'm with you, wasn't the huge, biggest Foo Fighter fan in the world. Knew a bunch of their songs, last saw them when I was 17 in high school. But it's one of those scenarios where they enjoyed it and their fans enjoyed it. It was something where, okay, this can build. And like you mentioned, they definitely would want to come back to an event, which was pretty much the goal all along, right?
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. And the biggest thing that I think our fan base needs to understand from a, heck, we'd love to put on one of these a month. we'd probably have to get out of the college athletics business, but it would be a lot of fun to do. It's the amount of time and work that goes into it behind the scenes, and not only just the setup. If you think about it, the concert was on Saturday night. setup started on the field the prior Sunday. So, you know, if you're talking about trying to do something in the fall, we're not saying it's not doable. But we also have to be careful about the fact, you know, our number one priority needs to be playing football games in there. Just kind of working around dates and stuff like that, as well as holding dates, you know, for things like graduation and other events that may be going on. So it's definitely something we will continue to explore lots of. We heard only good things from all the people we worked with, the concert promoters, and stuff like that. They were all very pleased. And thankfully, you know, that's a group that's Rival Entertainment that's basically based here out of Atlanta. The founder is a Georgia State alum. So I'm sure she was really keeping an eye on things that night. And I think I haven't talked to her, but I would like to think that she was pretty proud to be a GSU alum that night with the way everything went off.
Well, and that's, you know, I did see that note initially pop out. I think it was that week or maybe a couple of days before the concert date. And I thought that was a pretty big feather in the cap for the school as well. And then, like you said, mm-hmm. just the level of pride that can be put out there. And I think more than anything else, too, it's really opened up folks. If they didn't know already that Georgia State Stadium existed, I think it just added another piece to say, hey, look, this is a multi-function event center, not mm-hmm. just going to host basically six home dates a year for an FBS, you know, football program who, oh, by the way, is coming off their best season in their young history. So it has been fun to watch that growth as well. Did mm-hmm. Any of the coaching staff go? I haven't caught up with Coach Elliott yet. I'm still efforting that. Maybe we may catch up next week to promote some of his camps. But did you see any the football staff? Obviously, it's their home building, so I didn't know if they were mm-hmm. in the building or not.
I'm sure there were a few of them. I feel like I maybe saw Coach Trickett had tweeted something out from there. I'll be honest, I had one of the best views in the house sitting in the press box with a couple members of my staff. We had a good little chunk of media from what I understand from a concert perspective. It's a little different than when you know, you're hosting a football game or a basketball game, the numbers that come out. And some of our staff were in there. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, there was people everywhere. And so that was cool to see, but I'm sure some of them were in there. I know there was a little bit of a push to get Coach Hunter there. Actually, I haven't even asked him if he went or not that night. I think that's definitely a little different than what he's used to listening to. You know, at the end of the day, I think everybody associated with Georgia State, whether they were there or not, was proud of what went on that night.
Well, we had some questions on the boards. As always, mm-hmm. you were great answering those. One of the interesting questions specifically about the stadium, talking about any other people coming into the stadium, either this year or mm-hmm. even long-term, you know, more recognizable brands. Is there any plans mm-hmm. to do that? I know Panther Dining currently hosts some of that, but I have even seen some stuff walking around in the past that were a little different than what we normally saw, specifically mm-hmm. at the Dome, obviously new vendors and new things that way. Any updates on that that you know of in the pre-planning stages mm-hmm. here for football?
There's actually two parts of that. Panther Dining will no longer be serving on the concourse level this year. And that started with the Foo Fighters concert, where Premier, who did all our beer, wine, liquor, is actually taking over the concession side of things. Of what we sell in the stadium, you know, your hot dogs, your burgers, that type of thing. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is our corporate sales group's going out and just like they did last year to everybody that could have an interest in getting in the stadium, whether it's a Chick-fil-A, a McDonald's, Burger King, whoever the case may be. I think a lot of corporate groups weren't interested last year, partially on the basis of they didn't know what we were going to have. They wanted to really see what the stadium looked like when it was done and kind of have a year under their belt. And so we were able to sign up a few people that, you know, you see on the concourse and stuff, whether it's King of Pops or the Australian Bakery. I think you'll start to see more of those this year. The one thing I always remind people is it always takes two to tango. We would love to have, you know, everybody that wanted, you know, tons of people in there, you know, with vendor items and stuff like that. But there's got to be an interest on the other side as well. But I do think you'll see some more of that type of stuff this year, you know, whether it's more pizza stuff or, you know, as somebody alluded to, Chick-fil-A stuff. You know, that stuff's coming. We had such a short amount of time last year And I think when a lot of people came in, they saw the construction and stuff that was going on, but they didn't get to see the final product. And I think they were more, they wanted to see it finalized. And I think so now you'll see a lot more people get on board now that they know what we have. They see the stadium. They see the excitement around it. They see the schedule that we have of teams coming in this year. And I think that'll only help.
Well, you completely agree. And their visualization, it's you know, again, I was in there seeing some of the construction and versus when you guys opened it up for media day, and I was completely blown away. Like, I walked in there and said, okay, this is crazy. Like, yes, there's still some work to be done because I think we'll get in there first week of August, if I remember correctly, where you can see. But you went around, you're like, okay, this is pretty close to being, you know, inhabitable, if you will, to pull off a game, and we're several weeks out. I definitely could see that happening. And probably even businesses that maybe you guys pitch last year coming in now and be like, okay, remember that we were talking about this? Here you go. Now the place is not finished. I will say, you know, probably is never finished, but it's a lot more close to that.
Correct. No, I mean, that's, you know, last year the goal was phase one. And phase one was get in and play football. Everything else, in so many words, be damned. You know, we've talked about it on the podcast and off air. Even, you know, things like my press box. Hypothetically, we weren't supposed to touch it. So there would have been Brave stuff in there and all that kind of stuff. It just, when you have 5 months to do a project of that scope, you've got to just say, yeah, you know what, that's not going to get done, that's not going to get done. We took that on our hands, my staff and I and you know, members of our operations crew to help us. And anybody that came into the press box last year saw there was nothing Braves related left. And a lot of that stuff came to be finished in the last week and a half before the opener, not even the Corky Kell games that we hosted, but before our actual game. And so, you know, we truly were up against it. And as you alluded to, even people that came in August 1st probably went, okay, this, you know, this is cool, but it's not really done. But those last 2 weeks, so much got finished, and we knew it would to make the place as special as it looks, you know, 5 months later.
Well, I'll roll through a few questions here, rapid fire style, and some good questions on the boards. Weeks old too. Sorry, that's my apologies too, and fans, I put that on there too. It was not on Mike's side of things; it's completely on mine. My work schedule has been a little bit funky, but Mike's been flexible with us, and we greatly appreciate that. Favorite moment from 2017, 2018, because as you know, we kind of turned the page in June, July to 2018, 2019. Are there one or two that stick out for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, the one for me is men's basketball going back to the NCAA tournament. And that's, you know, some people may immediately go, well, how can you not say, you know, football winning a ball game? Unfortunately, I was not able to be down in Orlando for that because my primary sport being men's basketball, but everything that goes on with it. So obviously, you know, men's basketball and getting into the tournament, getting to talk with folks who I maybe hadn't talked with since we had been, you know, in a couple of years ago. I know, you know, we had the same TV crew, for example, that we had when we were down in Jacksonville, Andrew Catalan, Steve Lapis, and Jamie Erdahl, who are great three folks to work with, but then even just some of the other media in town. And I think a lot of what happened with that run that week and the fact that we were the only team in Georgia to be in it will really help Georgia State coming into this next season, when people think back on all the things that happened, as well as the fact we're close, being just up the road in Nashville. So at the end of the day, I mean, that to me, that's the one that if somebody asked me, I've got to put ahead of the rest. Was my favorite moment.
And what are you looking for the most in 2018 and 19? That's probably kind of hard because every season is different, isn't it?
I mean, I think I've got the curiosity factor that probably everybody that hops on Panther Talk or the message board has of what is our men's basketball team capable of this year. With so many guys returning, with Marcus coming back, you know, I was just talking with somebody last night about it, and there's obviously a part of me that wishes the season started tomorrow because I'm excited about the potential and what could happen. Because obviously another part of me would still like a couple months off to get ready since I haven't even finished wrapping up last season. I've already been waiting. I've already had somebody call earlier this week waiting, asking when the roster was going to flip over so they could see the new heights and weights from our guys. And it's still about a week and a half away. But no, so I'm really excited about that. Obviously I'm excited about what what Coach Elliott and the football team are coming off of. And now that they've really had, you know, a chance to really recruit their guys and show off the stadium and what that could be capable of. So, you know, there's a lot of things I think fans should be excited about for as the 2018-19 season gets underway before too long.
Yeah. How many times, I'll ask you one that's probably not on the board. How many times have you and Ron played golf since the off season kind of began?
That's fair. It's actually only been once. There's some more to come. Actually, there's a lot more to come, to be honest. We got out on the course about a week and a half ago. And that was honestly, that's not on Coach. That was more on me, because his off season gets started. I've still usually got a few weeks to go, and including, you know, travel down with the men's golf team down to Florida for the conference tournament and stuff like that. But there'll be some more rounds. I will also say there'll be some rounds scheduled for when we're in Spain to get some stuff in. And I think we're playing the first, already got it on the books for the first week of June. So, you know, it's the one time, and I don't think most people realize this, and I get some grief for it in the SID profession. Coach and I have an incredible relationship. And I've kind of stuck with that, you know, chase happiness that he talks about a lot, because it really is true. And we've got a great thing going, and it's why he's staying at Georgia State, hopefully and planning on for a really long time. Same thing for me. So there'll be more rounds of golf. He still hasn't beaten me. We're going to keep it that way, hopefully for as long as possible.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. Has he gotten better, or at least gotten a little bit closer to where you are? I know if he did beat you one-on-one, it would be blasted all over social media, and the whole entire world would know.
You're guaranteed correct on that. He has gotten better. The funny thing is, and this I think our fans will appreciate it, anybody that watches him coaches sees how mentally strong he is on the sidelines of being able to change plays and change defenses and really get the opposing team, you know, off their game, which I think wins us a lot of games and is why we've been so successful. When I'm able to get onto the golf course, I'm able to get into his brain somehow and mentally mess with him a little bit, including the round we played a couple weeks ago. It was just he and I went out and played a course locally. It was actually the first round I had played this offseason, and I birdied the first hole, and he just looked at me and went, we'll keep it clean of, you got to be kidding me. And at that point I knew I had him beat. We still had 17 holes to go and I knew he was done. So I've had a lot of fun with him and really our whole staff playing over the years. They're able to get away during the summer, and, you know, get some recruiting done. But also it's a time to relax and stuff, because once the season gets here, all of us, myself, coaching staff, clubs go away. The fun stuff goes away. It's time to win some basketball games. And we're fortunate that we're able to do a lot of that.
No question. Well, one of the other questions that popped up I thought was a really good one that I had highlighted. What are other programs that we model ourselves in Division I that either from the top down or you guys look at and pay attention to? Are there specific things that you guys look at? I know you're constantly going to, whether it's conferences or different things like that, you guys get access to a lot of different cool ideas. But are there specific programs that we're looking at, because naturally fans do it too. They look at, hey, City School or this or that or the other. I mean, I've heard everything from, of course, what Central Florida had going on, being our former conference mate there in the TAC, to, you know, up to Pittsburgh, just being a downtown school, or Temple, things like that. So are the things that you guys look at or you specifically look at and compare our program with?
You know, I'll speak for myself on this one. The University of Central Florida is the one I look at. And the reason I say that is about almost 20 years ago, there was no difference between Georgia State and UCF other than the fact that they had a 1AA football program and we didn't. If you went on their campus, nobody was showing up at basketball games. They had an arena that, to be honest, wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. And they basically at that point, you know, got a commitment from their president that they wanted to make, you know, athletics strong. And we saw what happened. You know, they took football to the next level. They've grown it over the last 15 or so years. They built their own stadium on campus. They built a brand new basketball arena. They've got really state-of-the-art facilities across the board. They built a bunch of dorms that are basically right around the football stadium. So that if you're a student on a Saturday morning, you wake up and basically there's no other thing to do other than go to the football game because you can literally walk across the street. And they basically built an athletics complex. And to be honest, I look at what we're now doing at Georgia State as the exact same thing. We will have those dorms right across the street. I think it's going to be 1,100 beds from the stadium. You're going to have a new baseball stadium. You're going to have a new convocation center. All of that's going to be in that one centralized area to go along with that whole Main Street USA feel, which is the same type of thing UCF did. They just built a bunch of dorms and put a bunch of Main Street USA type stuff underneath it that students can use, whether it's, you know, little restaurants or, you know, a hair place or pizza place or ice cream parlor, whatever the case. So to me, I see us following that exact direction. Now, the one part our fans probably don't want to hear is that hypothetically, then we're 15 years behind them. I don't think anybody on our staff wants it to take us 15 years to hopefully, you know, quote unquote, be able to catch up to them. But that's just the reality of it. And, you know, we're getting the facilities and all that kind of stuff is getting going now, but they needed to get all that stuff done to get to the level they are now. And obviously we saw the success they had, and whether you agree on them claiming a national championship or not is a whole nother story for another day. But to me, that's the concept of the fact that they're the biggest school in the state of Florida, with well over 50,000 students, no different than Georgia State having more than 50,000 students. So to me, if there's going to be somebody you're going to truly look at of, hey, how can we model what we want to do? It's going to be them. You know, when you mention an NC State or a Pitt, where I've seen, you know, some people talk about, you know, what's going to be relevant with UGA or Georgia Tech. Would I love for us to, you know, in 10, 15 years be an SEC school? Of course I would. Who wouldn't? At the end of the day, they've got 100 years of playing football on us that we're never going to be able to catch up on unless they shut those programs down. Now, that doesn't mean you don't try to be the best that you can be, but you've also got to be realistic about it. And, you know, would I love a rivalry to develop with one or both of them? Of course I would. But we've got to be the best that we can be at Georgia State and keep building that. And I think if there's a school out there to kind of look at the past, UCF would be the one that I would look at.
I can dig it. I would throw Cincinnati in there as well. I did think it was interesting, mm-hmm. and it was fun to kind of talk to the folks over there at the Bearcat Journal, our 24/7 mm-hmm. sister site as well, and kind of talk about the dynamics between the two markets. So obviously, Cincinnati a little bit smaller than Atlanta there, but they have similar challenges. Downtown school, mm-hmm. They have other. They've got the by the way, big boy in the state that doesn't like to play them a lot in football or any other sport for mm-hmm. that matter. Yep. There that pretty much captures the majority of the attention. So it was unique challenges. As Georgia State is unique, we do have some folks that we can certainly model after, and it's good mm-hmm. to know as well our former mates and your former employer, I do believe, right down there at Central Florida.
We actually did. When I was living in Florida, we were the official, and I had the sports photography company some of our fans know about. They were one of our biggest clients. We did a ton of stuff with them, made them a lot of money. They made us a lot of money too. But we kind of saw how that was all developing. And when they played their first football game in the new stadium back in 2007, I believe it was, if my memory serves correct. And what hit, you know, and that was midway through, but think about it. If that was 2007, it was still 10 years later before they really got to where they wanted to be football wise. You know, and heck, a lot of folks forget they went 0-12 2 years ago. So to come, it's one of those things that doesn't happen overnight. And I think it's also one of those things that probably happens when you don't expect it.
I agree totally. Well, last question for me, mm-hmm. you know, we always do this. We love Mike to death. We have to ask a food question. What's on the grill this weekend, as long as there's the weather holds up?
Well, the good thing is my grill is undercover. So we will be on the grill regardless this weekend. At least one huge slab of ribs at some point, and definitely some grilled chicken another night, and then probably Monday hot dogs and burgers, and let the kids have some fun.
Excellent. Well, we always appreciate the time, Mike. We had to mm-hmm. either we begin with a food question or end with a food question. You know how we roll around here, man.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
For folks that don't know, Mike is a fine barbecue connoisseur And yeah, he can tell some stories. We may have just a food only podcast one day. We'll work on that. As you know, I like to eat, and we have plenty of conversations there. We may even bring up the first time we were gonna have Ron go out to lunch. That story may make it mm-hmm. out over at the famed varsity story. Why that didn't happen either, but we'll talk about it. Well, enjoy your weekend, my friend. Appreciate the time as always, and look forward to catching up soon.
Sounds great. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the fan support. We're looking forward to another great year coming up next year.